countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Follow our new Weanling Watch series for expert analysis and commentary from thousands of cattle sales weekly.
Well, Thomas O'Connor is a young sheep, beef and pig farmer from Moon in County Kildare. He's been farming alongside his parents for the best part of 10 years after leaving college. He's also chairman of the IFA in Kildare. Now, it's farmers like him and his age group that'll bear the brunt of big changes coming down the line in terms of policy and environmental demands. So how are the young farmers that he represents feeling about the carbon budget to be announced on the recommendation of the Climate Change Advisory Council?
I think you could nearly split it into two, and in regards, you have the young farmers that have gone into dairying and expanded their business, and after putting huge capital investment into their business, and by the sounds of things we're going to be told that we're going to have to be curtailed, judging whether that's going to be by numbers or whatever way they're thinking at the moment, these young farmers have based their repayment capacity on numbers, on genuine business plans that the banks obviously verified to give them their money.
So they're worried.
How could you be anything else? I've done the same here. I was foolish enough to invest in a dry stock farm, and I've done the same here. And you'd be very fearful. And then you have the other cohort of farmers wondering, are they going to come into the business at all? And like, if you look at the farm strategy 2030, they want to drive exports out of this country from 13 billion last year to 25 billion. But how do we do that if we're selling less stuff? Is it going to double in value? I'd love if it did. But will consumers pay that? I don't know. I'd be very fearful.
Well, that ambition seems to fly in the face of what the Climate Change Advisory Council are talking about this week. When you read their report and you read what is being predicted for agriculture in terms of carbon budgets, how did you feel?
Well, you'd have to be very fearful of, do policymakers read what other policymakers are writing too? Because, sure, there's, as you said, it just flies in the face, to be honest with you, as a dry stock man. And I'll pull it back to CAP. I know climate is different, but if you go back the week before with the CAP budget that came out and the lack of support that was given to the suckler cow and the yow, and then you come the week after and there's going to be talks of a reduction in, maybe reduction in numbers. It's only pointing in one direction for a young farmer, as me seeing. And you have to be very fearful of that. Like.
But in terms of meeting carbon targets and reducing emissions, agriculture is going to have to play a huge part, which may mean a lot of pain for you guys. Are you prepared for that?
But we're already on this farm here. Like, you're after passing by a slurry tanker there with low emission slurry spreading on it. We're using, this is our second full grazing season using protected urea. On the farm here, we're actually part of a pollinators program that are doing simple little things like bare patch soils along your hedgerow. That's something that a bee can live in. Like, we'll embrace whatever we have to embrace. And it's not that farmers are kicking back against it. If we want to make serious inroads into our climate ambition in this country, it's farmers that are going to drive it. But we want, what I want anyway as a young farmer is, I want people to recognise what we're doing already and don't always be coming with us at the stick. And like, there's nearly a stigma been attached to being a farmer at the moment.
What do you make of that public discourse and, I suppose, the social media dialogue between farmers and environmentalists at the moment? Most of it, and much of it, very constructive, but at the extremes, there's a disdain for what you do.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, like, people only generally seem to talk about the extremes, but I'd never have any fear of bringing anyone onto my farm here and showing them what I do. And I don't think anyone would leave the farm here thinking that what I do is very, very negative. Like, this is the 28th of October. You're walking out and there's cows and calves there and on 6 inches of lush grass. The coats are shining and animal welfare couldn't be better. In comparison to what you'd go on if I brought you to a feedlot in America or in Brazil. Like, how can people be negative to what? We're an agriculture nation. And I said it before and I'll say it again. We should be quite proud of the quality produce we produce.
But if you have to reduce the number of animals on this farm, are you happy to do that if the proper incentives are there?
If the financial reward is there, every farmer will do it. You have to understand, my asset is the cattle that are walking around my field. And if I am forced to reduce my asset, I have no choice only to go to the marketplace to get that. And like, worst case scenario, we could have, our assets could be cut and our farm gate prices could be poor. Our direct supports are being cut, decimated on this farm.
So you're saying it's almost like a perfect storm working against you, that prices are always volatile. You have the CAP supports are dwindling and now you're facing the prospect of having to cut back on production on the farm.
And I could actually add in another one there, like our input costs for 2022 are absolutely, price of fertilizer seems to be out of control. You're usually volatile, and especially if you're in what I'm in, like I'm in a low income business, and I choose to do it because I'm very passionate about beef farming, I'm very passionate about sheep farming. I might be an outlier in that regard, but we're at the mercy of our processors rewarding us for the work we do, which they've pretty much shown in the past they don't. So, like, you have to be hugely fearful of what direction we're going. Look, it goes back, there's three types of sustainability. There's environmental, there's economic, and there's social. The three of them have to be coherent for us to be sustainable. Everyone is talking about the environmental one. I don't see too many people caring about whether farmers goes out of business.
But if you were, as I said, maybe paid to plant more trees here instead of grazing cattle, what would you think of that?
When you've cattle grazed natural grass on the 28th of October, if you compare how environmentally sustainable that is versus a model where you hear that Brazil want to go increase their herd by 24 million, if we have a country that can grow an abundance of grass because it's surrounded by an abundance of water, so surely, as a global bigger picture, the countries that are more sustainable at growing beef should be let grow the beef. Like, the simple answer can't be just to cut the national herd. We're an agriculture nation. We have no other heavy industry. We need to support farming.
What do you think is the public perception of what you do here on this farm and what other farmers in Ireland do on a daily basis?
Well, I think the public perception has probably been swayed in a negative manner because, like, we're after discussing a lot of the positives that we're doing now in the industry. But how much of that makes it onto the airwaves, whether it's on radio or whether it's on television? And, like, if I'm a city dweller and I hear about all that our emissions have increased, but I don't understand the bigger picture of what's going on. I don't understand the on-farm technologies that have been trialled and that are going to take a while to show results. I'm obviously going to side on the side of negativity too.
You're a young farmer, 30, 31 years of age, looking out here onto the field of cattle. Where do you see yourself in 10 years' time? What will this farm look like in 10 years' time? Or do you think like that?
Look, in 10 years' time, I'd be very fearful of looking out in a field of suckler cows the way things are going. I won't lie to you. And due to the low income that's in the sector and the cutting the supports that's coming, in 10 years' time, if I'm married with a family, I think there's only one system of production that I can survive in. And that's very hard for me to say as a diehard dry stock man. But that's because we're not being supported. And it's very sad to say, like, we have a fantastic suckler herd. Where, like, I could go through figures of the live weight gains and the kill outs I get of some of the stock, and it's all because of genetics, generations of breeding. And that's, I said it to the minister, I said it to the junior minister, I think they're starting to turn their back on me as a young farmer, a productive young farmer. I think it's disgraceful. I guarantee I'll still be farming here in 10 years' time, but maybe it mightn't be with the suckler cows I have today.
Well, that was Thomas O'Connor, a young farmer and farm activist, says he's one of the younger county chairs of the IFA in his native county Kildare, and he spoke to me on the family dry stock farm this week.